It's been a blessing to be here already this morning. I'd just like to open with a word of prayer. But Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for being here with us, Father. Father, we ask that you would calm my trembling lips, Father, and help me to honor you, Father, in the things I say. Pray this in your name. For opening verses, let's turn to John 3, and we'll start reading in verses 22, and we'll read to 36. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John was also baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came to John and said unto him, Rabbi. And he said, And he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing, except it is given to him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness, that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all, and he that is on the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. And he that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that receiveth his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son he shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. This meditation this morning, it's been what God has been doing in my life. I by no means have this accomplished in my life, but I'm going to continue working on it, and that God's been gave me some thoughts, and so this is, I'm going to share with you what. Share with you the way that God has been speaking to me. I'm going to start in verse 27 here. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it is given to him from heaven. God has been doing in my life is whose kingdom am I building? And with that verse 27, a man can receive nothing except it is given from him from heaven. with this truth, why do we try to build our own kingdom sometimes? We're receiving everything from God anyway, but we try to build our own kingdom with God's things. I find this very easy, and I want to build my own kingdom with what I try to label as my things. My money, my time, my resources, my abilities. I find it very easy to tithe God with His things. And that's sobering to me. I like to pat myself on the back after I give God 10% of His things. I think this comes closer home than we want to admit. Then verse 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, receiveth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Is that our heart attitude? Are we content to be behind the scenes? Do we care when someone else gets the credit for all the hard work, all my hard work? Or if I get the blame for someone else's mistake, am I fine with that? I have much need to grow there. He must increase, but I must decrease. Matthew 10:38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Jesus says almost the identical words five other places in the Gospels. Are we willing to take up our cross and follow Jesus and decrease so He can increase? If we are not on our cross, we are on the throne. I want to look at Jesus' life a little bit here, and Mark 14:32. And start reading there. And this here, what I want to read here, Jesus gives us an example of how he did that. He gave us an example of becoming less for God's kingdom to grow. And they came into a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, that if it was possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they that they what to answer him. And he came the third time and said unto them, Sleep now, take thy rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And then reading in Mark 15, starting in verse 16. And the soldiers led him into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it upon his head. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Jumping to verse 29. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend upon now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, and darkness over the whole land, until the ninth hour, in the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama," I'm not sure how to pronounce that, which is being interpreted, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by, when he heard it, said, "Behold, he calleth Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice, and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom. And the centurion which stood over against him saw, he so cried out, and gave up the ghost. He said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Jesus knew before he came to earth that he would be crucified. That didn't catch him by surprise. There was nothing glamorous about dying on that cross. It was a very humiliating death. Jesus did this for us. What are we willing to do in return for him? Am I willing to decrease, to become as nothing, that God can be glorified? It is easy to have a lot of pursuits in life, things we like and want to do. But what if God asks us to lay them down? Are we willing to be on the cross? What percent of our pursuits in life can be fleshly and we still be a spiritual Christian? Whose kingdom am I building? God is interested in me building. God is not interested in me building my own kingdom, with the plan on him being ruler over it sometime in the future. We have to be building the kingdom, spending our lives for his glory. Is there a point in my life where God does not have the right to ask me to give up? Ask me to give something up? If we continue to spend our time, money, and resources at the rate we are now, in the places we are now, when we die, what percent of our resources God has given us will we have given back to him? Matthew 25:14. I don't want to take this verse out of context. I'm not sure if this is exactly how Jesus had meant it, but this is when I was thinking about this last week. This is the verse that came to my mind. Some verses here. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods. And then to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and another 1. To every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2 gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest to me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained other two talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. And when he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then on my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and to him, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. The sobering thing for me was that the man with the 1 talent only gave to God what God originally gave to him. Are we only going to give to God what God gave to us, or are we going to give him less or more? I know all things come from God, but are we using his opportunities that he provides for us to build his kingdom further? So that's all I have. That's what God has been doing in my life this past week. And I hope it's been a blessing to someone. I thank you for listening.